presents Satellite 7, an adventure serial in 8 parts by Angus McVicar. The storyteller is 15-year-old Jake Thompson. Part 4, The Launching Bay.
Was there a spy on Shuna finding out about the rocket base? What was the meaning of the whispering voices and the paper we found in the cave headed Irish Provident Assurance, Dublin? When Tony and I found the transmitter set in the cave, we thought we had found all the answers. Then suddenly we heard a sinister ticking.
A black box beneath the boulder.
Stuck there, too. But why should the spy have put a clock inside it?
A clock? Jake, it's a time bomb! Get back down the tunnel for your life! It may go off at any minute! Mind the narrow corner! Come on, Jake. Hurry up, for goodness sake.
Sorry, I can't get through. I'm stuck.
Oh, no. Stand tight, we can push. Push, Jake, push.
My shoulder's jammed against this rock.
Wait, Jake, wait. Ease us up back. This way. That's it. No, turn sideways.
That's better. That's it, Tony.
Good.
I'm through, but can you make it?
Of course, I can make it. It's not so bad now. We're not in the direct line of an explosion. But keep going, Jake. We'll be safer still outside on the sand.
We're nearly there.
Down, Jake, down!
Stop!
All right, Jake?
I think so. What about you?
Okay. Oh, lucky we got round that bend in time, eh?
Another minute up there, we'd have been killed. Why did he do it? The spy, I mean. Plant a time bomb.
It all adds up, Jake. He sent out his last message before the 21st. Presumably, he got his final instructions. He wanted to destroy all the evidence.
But people are bound to have heard those explosions.
Well, I don't know. They weren't all that loud. And if anyone does ask questions, the simple answer could be a fall of rock inside the cliff. Come on, Jake. I think the danger's past. The sooner we get back to the cottage, the better.
Okay. What did Bridie say when she hears about this?
You think we should tell her?
What?
Well, in the circumstances, I mean.
Well, perhaps not.
Well, I think we ought to keep this to ourselves, for the moment, at any rate. If we started shooting off our necks about a spy, we might find ourselves in serious trouble in more ways than one. Oh, well, there's the mouth of the tunnel, thank goodness.
The moon's still shining.
Oh, it is. Take it easy for a minute. We don't want to be spotted coming out.
It's all quiet, Tony. As far as I can see.
Yes. Yes, I think we can risk it now. The shingle's nice and gentle on the feet after all that loose rock in there.
Good to smell her. And the fresh air, too. Are we going straight back to the cottage?
No, I think we ought to have a quick look at the boat first, in case we're asked about it. Then a guarded word with Mr. O'Neill seems to be indicated. Come on, Jake.
And quite honestly, Father and I were beginning to wonder if we'd got lost. Granny went to bed, so I just set the supper here in Father's room.
Granny was hungry, that was the trouble. We were on the point of eating by ourselves when you came in.
Oh, we didn't realize it was so late. But these crab sandwiches were well worth waiting for.
They're super. We don't deserve them, you know, staying out till this time of night. More tea, Jake. Yes, please.
That's the kind of dictatorship I have to put up with. Ah, well, one learns to live with it.
Oh, there's need a dictator to run their lives for them. They're so woolly-headed otherwise. Here's your cup, Jake.
Oh, thanks, Rosie.
How did you find the boat, by the way?
Oh, grand. Billy's done a great job.
One more strip of wood should finish it.
We could sail away any time if we were allowed. I can't make out all this about waiting until after the 21st.
Neither can I. Father, do you know anything about it?
I do, but I'm not at liberty to go into details. In the meantime, at any rate.
Oh, you mean you can't say anything until Tony and Jake have been investigated?
That's it, more or less, but... Oh, don't let's go into awkward questions. Brady and I spent some of the last hour playing your records, Tony. I've heard them before, of course, but... Now that I've actually met you, I think I enjoy them even more than ever.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Mr. O'Neill.
What's that? The front door, I think.
Who on earth can it be at this time of night? I'll go, Bridie. Granny Stewart's in bed.
Surely Granny went to bed very early.
I know. She had a headache, she said.
Are you sure she did go to her room? How do you mean?
Hold it. Here he comes.
Oh, it's Fred Lieutenant Carmichael, the guard commander at the station.
Oh, hello, Harry. This is a surprise.
Hello.
It's ages since you've been to see us.
I'm on a special mission tonight. Evening, Jack.
Evening. Harry's brought you good news, boys.
The professor believes in at last.
That's it. And here's your record. Return here with, there we are, Bradley.
Oh, thanks.
Yes, we've pretty well made up our minds. All reports on the mainland were entirely favorable. But over the sea to sky, that clinched it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Jake and I are very pleased, naturally.
You bet.
Do sit down, Harry.
Oh, bless you, Fergus. Mind if I smoke a cigarette?
Not at all. Have one of mine.
Oh, bless you. Good. Thanks. Yes, I thought I'd come and tell you the result right away. The professor and Mr. McIntyre are extremely busy, or they might have come too.
Well, very kind of you, Mr. Carmichael. But I take it that we are still prisoners here until the 21st.
Well, shall we leave the answer to that till tomorrow?
Why, tomorrow?
The professor's invited you both to visit the station in the afternoon. And you too, Bridie, if you would like to come.
Oh, gracious goodness, of course I'll come.
He thinks you might be interested in what's going on up there.
Oh, that's an understatement.
It certainly is. Thanks, Lieutenant Carmichael.
That's all right. Matter of fact, you're probably going to get quite a surprise.
And that's another understatement. But look here. Don't I come into this at all?
No, sorry, Fergus. Of course, yes. We've been rather an edge, as you know, but... Well, things have changed in the past few days.
I see.
Oh, by the way, just in case you have any trouble getting past my men at the gate, I'll make out a comprehensive pass. You got any paper, Fergus?
Yes. Just wait a minute. Here's a page from my diary, pal.
Lovely.
Will this do?
Just the job. Now, I may not be on the spot when you arrive. And, I think this ought to save a lot of argument. That's it. I think you'd better take charge of the attorney.
Oh, thanks, sir. We're all looking forward to this, I can tell you.
Oh, but... you bet.
By the way, Fergus, while on the subject of diary pads, many thanks for sending that bundle up to the station. We found them very useful.
It's my insurance company. They give me about a dozen every year when I pay my premium. Salving their conscience, I shouldn't wonder.
Well, we're very grateful anyway. Well, it's getting late. I'm sure you people want to get a bed, so I'll just toddle off now.
I'll go part of the way with you. It's a lovely night.
Oh, right, fine. Oh, by the way, did any of you hear a strange, rumbling sort of noise down by the cliff about an hour ago?
No, I can't say that I did.
No, we were in here, Father and I, playing Tony's records. We didn't hear a thing.
Oh. Probably just a fall of rock. I happened to be inspecting the guard post at the time. Otherwise, I don't suppose I should have noticed it either. Well, good night, all. See you tomorrow afternoon.
Good night, Harry. Good night, sir.
Good night.
And don't be too long, Father.
I'll be back in a few minutes. But don't wait up if you feel like going to your bed.
Boy, we're going to solve one mystery at least tomorrow afternoon.
I wonder what Professor Walters has been holding up his sleeve.
Well, that remains to be seen. Oh, a date on television was never as exciting as this.
Now, this is the launching bay where we fire the rockets and control our flight. Mostly underground, of course, with 1,000 tons of concrete above our heads as protection in case of accident. We watch each takeoff in this periscope mirror.
Oh, it's like the bridge of about 10 battleships rolled into one.
Oh, it's terrific. Professor Walters, how on earth do you keep track of all these instruments?
Oh, we have at least a dozen men at the dials, all transmitting information to Mr. McIntyre here, who sits beside me at the desk.
Well, operations up to date have been comparatively simple. A matter of check and logistics. When that big rocket out there goes off, it'll be different.
Where's Father Gotto? He'd love to see this.
Didn't he stop to speak to Hackett in the main workshop?
Oh, I believe he did. Billy wanted to show him some scale models.
Professor, speaking about that big rocket, Lieutenant Carmichael said you were going to tell us what's going on here.
I know. Rash of me, perhaps.
I mean, we know about your experiments, but we've come to the conclusion that you're planning something else. Something pretty big.
I told you, Professor, they're as curious as a bunch of cats in a fish basket.
Well, it can't do any harm to tell them now. Look, sit down, all of you. Here, at the desk.
All right, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Professor. Okay, this is what we've been waiting for.
Now, Roderick, have we the original chart summarizing the whole operation?
Yes, here we are. This should put them in the picture.
But I can't make head or tail of it.
Can I?
You will in a moment. Now, as you know, several Earth satellites have been launched to date. None of them from here, incidentally. They've all been rather insignificant, I'm afraid. But now it's our turn to make the headlines. In short, we are planning to be the first country to send a satellite round the moon and bring it back again.
Gosh, round the moon.
Satellite 7, we call it. And this lonely island was chosen as its launching ground for security reasons. We have an idea it'll give some other countries a surprise of their lives.
So, this is a drawing of the satellite's course?
Exactly.
It leaves the Earth in a big spiral. This line here. It shoots off around the moon and comes back again, slanting in through the Earth's atmosphere.
Aye, you've got it. Now, We've already brought part of a rocket back to Earth under full control all the time. It landed within 17 feet of where we calculated it would. Here on Shula.
Oh, that's incredible.
And that big rocket out there, is that the one you mean? Is that Satellite 7?
To be more precise, Satellite 7 is the nose piece. The rocket's built in three stages, you see. But the satellite's large enough to contain about a dozen different instruments, including cine cameras to take pictures of the other side of the moon, the side we never see.
Golly, that'll certainly put us on the map if it comes off.
And why shouldn't it come off? Are you questioning our skill?
No, I'm sorry, Mr. McIntyre. I just meant if anything went wrong.
What would you expect to go wrong?
The point is, Mr. McIntyre, you thought at first that we were spies, or more correctly, the accomplices of a spy. That could only mean one thing. You're pretty well convinced there's a spy on this island.
You see, they were bound to spot.
Yeah, young people nowadays are far too smart for their own good.
Your inference is correct, Tony. We do suspect a spy. Little things. Papers disarranged. A series of small accidents to our equipment. That is all we have to go on. But as you say, we're pretty well convinced.
So now you're waiting for the 21st to fire the big rocket.
That was to have been the day. But for all we know, a spy may have arranged for a foreign agent to forestall us. We've been working hard these past few days. Satellite 7 will be launched tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
At 1000 hours. If there is a spy, that ought to disrupt his schedule.
May we come and see what happens?
You must come. And stay undercover for safety reasons. Nobody knows. In any case, the whole operation, the journey out and the journey back, should be over in about 12 hours.
Surely that means a terrific escape velocity.
It does. Approximately 21 kilometers a second.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Not so fantastic when you consider that we're using an atomic motor for the second stage. The first of its kind, I believe, in existence.
I see.
Take another look at the chart. You see how the satellite will first swing around the Earth, gaining height all the time. Then it sheds the first stage booster.
Professor! Mr. McIntyre! Come quick!
What is it, Hackett?
Something's happened. The timing apparatus next door.
What do you mean the timing apparatus? This is perfect order when I saw it an hour ago.
Something wrong now, sir. Come on.
Right. That equipment was practically foolproof. I don't understand.
Oh, it's testing the valves. Routine, Mr. McIntyre, as you ordered.
Yes, yes.
First stage control was okay.
Mm-hmm.
When I tried the second. Mm. Anyway, here we are, sir.
Stand back.
Oh, sorry, sir. Don't crowd in, Jake.
Right, Hackett. Let's try the first stage control.
Right, sir.
Nothing wrong with that.
Cut her off.
Now, it's this here second stage. See? I'll cut it.
Switch off.
What do you make of it, Roderick?
Broken wire somewhere.
An accident?
Not in your life. Someone's heard our plans have been brought forward. He's trying to stall us.
Blimey. Sabotage.
Target. Go and tell the foreman electrician I want to see him at once.
Try right, sir. Then can't.
What are the chances of getting this repaired in time?
It depends, but I'm certain of one thing. There's a traitor here. Maybe not so very far away from where we're standing now.
That was part four of Angus McVicar's adventure serial Satellite 7, produced in the Scottish studios of the BBC.